from the latest happenings on the diamond.
They've obviously taken their hits at times, but I think Freddie Peralta has been so steady. Colin Ray, same thing.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
And he does it so unorthodox. Like, he'll change his batting stance, like, within an at-bat or at-bat to at-bat. Like, it's insane. Like, it defies kind of everything that you hear from players.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Century Foods. Win the ultimate baseball fan experience at Century Foods. Return the entry form found in the weekly ad to any Century by July 24th. Century Foods, the best meat in town. Also brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
Your Milwaukee Brewers still atop the NL Central. They've got a 5-game lead on the St. Louis Cardinals, and everybody else just kind of trying to wrap up the season. But that is not the most important news this morning. No, the most important news this morning is that yesterday was Sophia Minert's birthday. Go.
Good one.
Sophia, happy birthday to you.
Thanks, guys.
And
it was a fun day.
And the Brewers celebrated with a big win last night. Obviously, it took a little longer than we would have thought. So let's start there. What is the vibe surrounding this team right now as we continue listening to 50 Cent celebrating your birthday? What is the vibe around this team right now as we, you know, again, get a little bit closer towards the end of the year and they still find themselves atop the division?
Yeah, I would say, you know, they got an extra day for the All-Star break, and then they came back, and things have not been boring in the first 4 games since the break. You know, I think over the weekend, you know, they start with that long 12-inning game back and forth against the Twins. Sunday, you know, 4 different home runs. Eric Haas had a monster day. I think you feel pretty good about what they were able to do there, and then, you know, for whatever reason, the Cubs starters have just had their number against the Brewers this year. Like, the Brewers have done a great job putting pressure, but just not able to put up big offensive numbers against them. And so last night was kind of indicative of that, of Jameson Taillon was really, really good. And then they were finally able to break through there in the eighth and win it 1-0 behind some excellent pitching, with Colin Ray leading the way with 5 innings. So it's been kind of a lot going on here in the first 4 games. We've got another day game coming up here in Chicago. And I think overall the vibe is really good, Jen. Like, I think, you know, again, it's just been contributions from a lot of different guys. And we've seen that here in the last 4 games.
Sophia, I saw Yelich was pulled from yesterday's lineup. How serious is the back?
Yeah, I think there's some concern there. He's just not moving very well. You can see it in his at-bats. He's been DHing. He was out of the lineup Sunday. Part of that was just, you know, he obviously playing in the All-Star game, travel, and then the long game on Saturday night. So there's definitely some concern there. Pat Murphy acknowledged it could possibly be an IL stint. The Brewers are facing a lefty today with Justin Steele. So I imagine he will be out of the lineup today, and then the team is off tomorrow. So they've got some time to sort of let him get treatment, figure things out, see what the best move is for him. But he's obviously not feeling full strength. I think you can see that the way he's moving around. But he's doing his best to be available to get through it, to try to have good at-bats. So he's definitely giving what he's got right now, just not feeling his best.
Speaking of Christian Yelich, I do believe that there are still tickets available for his charity event, which is going on this Thursday, the Christian Yelich Home Yes. Plate Charity Concert. I imagine, Sophia, you will be there, so if folks still want to go to that, they can go online at the Pabst Theater Group and get tickets for that, Gabe.
Yes, absolutely. And I attended Christian's event last year. It was the first year he had done it. He and his family have put a lot into it. They've got a different format this year, so I think it should be fun. It's more of a charity concert. They've got Charlie Barron's coming, Scotty McCreary, another act coming. So I know a lot of the team is planning on attending. I know Pat Murphy is planning on attending. So yeah, I think if you have no plans for Thursday night, should be a great venue at the Pabst Theater. So it should be a lot of fun.
Is there any more just glaring need for starting pitching, and a sign of that glaring need that today is still TBD of who's starting on your mm-hmm. fifth day after the All-Star break.
Yeah, I think part of it is they do have the off day tomorrow. I would, you're right, it's technically still listed as TBA. They're probably looking at an opener. You've got Bryce Wilson, Jacob Junis, who can provide length out of the bullpen. Look, they're still also counting on the players that they're expecting to get back here soon. Joe Ross, D.L. Hall, Devin Williams. He's now made two minor league rehab games. He should be scheduled to pitch here, I think, today or tomorrow for the Sounds. So Devin's is trending in the right direction, which is great. But so they're, you know, especially with Joe Ross and D.L. Hall, you're getting guys that can provide hopefully bulk innings when they're back. Look, Matt will always look at adding. I think the team is certainly in a position to add. You feel like they're pretty set in the position player group. And we talked to Murph about this, you know, with the trade deadline now less than a week away. Some of these deals, and of course the way that the wild card picture is right now with pretty much six teams, so you could even stretch it out to seven teams, still very much involved within three games of those final wild card spots. What I've read is like the narrative is that there might be teams that are both buying and selling. There might not be clear positions set by teams. So we'll see kind of how the conversations shake out the next couple of days. But I know Matt Arnold in the front office, they are always looking at ways to add to the club.
Sophia Minert hanging out with Jen Gabin-Chewy here. So let's continue that conversation because we are inside a week of the trade deadline. And I believe that most people think the Brewers will, as you alluded to, be buyers. Starting pitching will be at the top of their shopping list. And yet mm-hmm. I can't imagine that they will be able to compete with some of the offers that some of these other teams will throw out there for the highest, for the most desired pitchers on the list. So should Brewers fans be kind of looking at that second tier of starter options as far as people that the Brewers might go after?
Yeah, I think, look, they always want to add quality pitching when they can, right? What's hard about going after those top-tier names, right, the Garrett Crochets, the Tarek Skubals, some of the names that you're seeing at the forefront of the trade deadline, you typically have to give up major league players to acquire players like that, or you've got to give up a haul of minor league prospects. That typically is not how the Brewers have operated at the trade deadline. It's typically a one-for-one. It might be a smaller package of prospects. I mean, if you go back to Christian Yelich's trade, which was in the offseason, of course, they gave up four really quality prospects to acquire him. And that was probably the biggest, you know, trade that they've made in the last 10 years up until this point. So I think it's like there's always a high asking price for players like that. And, you know, I think you could look at like the Aaron Civale trade that they did with Tampa just 2 weeks ago. They've gotten three really good starts out of him now, and he's a piece that, you know, again, not at the top tier of that list, but he fits what they need. He's consistent, he's durable, he knows himself, he's a veteran. Again, he's given them really good quality innings. I think it's going to be moves like that of like it's got to fit for the team. And they're going to pursue every option. But that's part of what makes these trades complicated is the asking price and what are you willing to give up and what are you willing to sacrifice to make these moves happen.
Sophia, if this trend continues and the Brewers win the Central by a decent number, should Pat Murphy be seriously considered as manager of the year?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. I think just the... considering the turnover with obviously the manager, with the roster, this team is built differently than other Brewers teams in the past. And really, like, no one would have expected the Brewers to be in this position 100 games into the season in first with this type of lead. And I think Murph deserves a lot of credit for just how he's just kind of let these players, you know, kind of come together. It's a very, very young team, one of the youngest teams in the league. He's let them grow. It has been messy at times, but he's also like letting them thrive. He's giving them a lot of confidence. He's, you know, kind of giving them consistent messaging of what his expectations are. And he does expect a lot. He really truly like coaches and teaches as much as he can, especially with some of these younger players. And then he really leans on the veterans, you know, guys like Christian Yelich and Willy Adames and Reese Hoskins and William Contreras and Freddie Peralta, Wade Miley, even though he's been out with TJ. Like, he always talks about them as these are the pillars of the team, and he lets them lead, and he lets them help the younger players. So I absolutely think, just considering where the team is and the expectations and the narrative around the team at the start of the year, obviously nothing has been decided yet. There's a lot to figure out, but he'd have to be in that conversation, I think, just for how the team has performed.
Ultimately, I think this scheduling is good for fans, Sophia, because you get to see teams like the Yankees, Red Sox, and all the big teams come through Milwaukee, you know, once every other year. But is it still kind of strange that today is the last game against the Cubs?
Yes. We've talked about that. It is, because when you lose essentially two series, right, you lose a home and home with the balanced scheduling. Like you said, we'll be done with the Chicago Cubs, seeing them after today. So it is weird, because you expect to see a lot of those division matchups later in September, and that's what makes, you know, the scoreboard watching and the postseason races so fun, is when you have those head-to-head matchups. They will still have plenty of division series in September. They'll see the Cardinals. They'll finish with the Pittsburgh Pirates, I think, on their last road trip. I think they'll finish with the Reds, I think, in August. So there's a doubleheader coming up there in Cincinnati. But, yeah, it is. I think that's maybe, like, something that they could address moving forward. You know, you're trying to balance the schedule as much as you can, and I agree with you. I think the balanced schedule of the interleague play has been so much more fun, I think, for the players, the teams, for the fans. I know the players have really enjoyed it. But yeah, you want to see those division, like you want to see those head-to-head matchups at the end. So I think that's probably the next step of the balanced schedule.
Sophia, last thing before we let you go. Do the Brewers find themselves in a bit of a roster pickle in the backup catcher situation? Feel like things maybe haven't shaken out exactly as they thought they would, which is a good thing from an injury standpoint. And yet here we are again wondering, what is the future of one of these guys?
Yeah, and look, this was a conversation we had at spring training with Eric. You know, you're talking about Gary Sanchez and Eric Haas, and part of the challenging piece of this is, like, they haven't really functioned like normal backup catchers, in the sense that William Contreras wants to catch like 180 games this season, which obviously he can't do, but he really wants to be in there every day, and he's one of the best catchers in the league, so you want him in there as much as possible. So it's even a smaller workload, I think, than what you would typically see from a backup catcher. But, you know, Gary Sanchez has missed the last 20 games with a calf injury. Eric Haas was probably the best player in spring training, to the point that he was forcing a conversation about, should this team carry three catchers, which is really challenging, especially considering the Contreras component, and what that does to your bench, right, of you're losing a utility player at that point. So Sanchez, he's been with the team. He did a rehab assignment over the weekend. He should be close to going. I mean, he's been working out and doing everything with the team here the last couple of days. Eric Haas had a big weekend in Minnesota, and pitchers love throwing to him. I mean, he's a great, great teammate. He's been so valuable to this team. So it is a little bit of a pickle. There's not an easy decision here. I think they're trying to figure out how the pieces work. They're going to have to make a decision here in the next couple of days with what to do with Gary Sanchez and what that means for Eric Haas.
All right, Sophia, we hope you had a very, very happy birthday, and hope that it continues the rest of this week with some Brewers victories. Thanks for hanging out with us.
All right, thanks. Have a good one.
That's Sophia Minert. You can see her, of course, on Bally Sports Wisconsin today, when the Brewers wrap up their series. All right, for your next night out, make Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate the Arts Hotel, your dinner destination. Aria is nestled on the second floor of St. Kate. It's an artful dining experience that captivates with culinary creativity. Every bite at Aria is a work of culinary artistry. You can learn more and make reservations at aria@stkate.com. That's aria@stkate.com.